The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears no fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord." Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the video you just watched was from Shift Worship. It has a really, really simple title. Perhaps you caught it throughout the course of the video. Just two words. What if? From the beginning to the end, all of these what if statements. An interesting title for a video, and yet appropriate when you consider what the topic of the video is about. It's a word that you know well. It's a word that you have received before from others. It is a word that you have given to others. It's also a word that you felt you've not received and been unable to give to other people. It's four letters and you know it well. So do I. The word is none other than love. So the video goes through a series of what if statements about love conquering negative things. For example, what if love was greater than hate, greater than fear, greater than failure or brokenness, greater than our despair, or even our own sense of loss? And at the end of the video, you happen to see this ultimate set of what-if statements. And there were two. What if love came to die? And that was followed by, what if love came to save? And the answer to those two what-if statements and all of the other what-if statements that were surrounding this video was found in the last image that you saw. This image of Christ crucified on the cross with the thieves on both sides and this kind of dark, pale red sky, right, cast in the background over these ominous mountains as the camera panned away from that, reminding us of what Christ had done for you and for me. This lasting image about what love, this wonderful four-letter word that we have in this video was, got me thinking about another word, a central word in the text today from John's 15th chapter, actually a word that has a direct tie to this word love that was in our video today. It's a really simple word too, and it's not four letters, it's five letters. You've heard this word as well, although it goes by a number of other names. That word is none other than abide. Today in our text, Jesus gives a very, very personal invitation to abide in Him, in His love, in His grace, in His mercy, and His understanding that are limitless in a world where we have placed limitations as people on such things in granting them to each other. And most certainly, in our text today, we are invited to abide in only the love that Christ can give that is unmatched by anything or anyone else that we have either experienced or ever will experience again. Verse 4 in your text says this today, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, if you popped over to the internet, you just decided to go to Google and do this massive search about a definition for the word abide, you would get too many answers to possibly sift through. Millions and millions of possibilities for the word abide. There are countless definitions. There was one, though, that kind of caught my attention when it came to what abiding in John's gospel meant, tied to this idea of what love is in this video. Abiding can mean this: continuing without fading or becoming lost. That is a really good definition of abiding. Let me say it again. Continuing without fading or becoming lost. Now, on the other hand, if you went to Google and did the same exact thing and you threw in love instead of abide, you'd equally get confused by the hundreds and thousands and millions of possibilities to define that word. I had my fave, though. And that particular favorite was this, and speaking of what love is and does, connected to abiding. Love means, and can mean, to have a deep and passionate attachment or connection to someone else or something else. A deep and passionate connection. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Abiding. Continuing without fading or becoming lost. Or as I like to call it, staying connected and staying attached. Staying plugged in, so to speak. Loving, having a deep and passionate connection. An attachment without becoming lost, staying together, staying attached, staying connected. Abiding and loving are partners, and they are. You have two words, love from our video today and abide from our gospel text today, tied together by a common theme that's actually found not in your gospel text today. Just a hair further. Your gospel text ends at verse 8. But the real payoff between abiding and loving happens in verse 9. Let me read it to you. As the Father has loved me, perhaps this is familiar to you, so I have loved you. And then the kicker, abide in my love. That is verse 9. That's a pretty good blueprint. We must abide in Christ's love first. Then the question becomes, great, so we have abided in Christ's love. What then? What exactly does that mean for you and for me? How does that help us? When you leave this place and go into your daily relationship building with other people, whether that be in your family, with your friends, at your job, in your neighborhood, in your home, or anywhere else you happen to go. Well, there's an answer that John has for that too, but it's not in your gospel text either. It's not in verse 1, it's not all the way through verse 8, it's not verse 9 either. Happens to be in verse 12. What does abiding in Christ's love do for you and for me? It does this. Here's verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Do you know the rest of it? Say it. As I have loved you. You should love one another as I have loved you. And with it comes a commandment to go and be that. To be clothed in Christ's love as we have been given this love by Christ, and then pour that out on everybody else. To abide in Jesus is to be loved unconditionally in a world filled with conditions. Loving people is hard. We've made it hard. Christ made it simple. Even despite all of our blemishes, yours and mine. But by abiding, we get this idea of what it is to be loved in spite of the things that are not pretty about us. Because if Christ can accept that, for surely someone else can, since we were all made in Christ's image. And we should. Abiding in Christ's love just simply means that we can learn to love each other as Christ has loved us in the midst of our own brokenness. When things aren't good, and they don't look good, and we are not good to each other. So I'd like to end our time together today with a few what-if statements of my own. Considering this video and considering this text from John about abiding in Christ's love and then pouring that out, to everybody you know. For we began with what-if statements, and we will end with what-if statements, but on the end of those will come the answer of, so, what if we do this? What's going to be the result? Well, try these on for size. What if abiding in the love Christ has for us was greater than our anger, our hatred, our bitterness toward one another? What if abiding in the love Christ has for us was greater than our need to exert judgment over each other and stereotype each other, as if that is so simple for us to do? What if abiding in the love Christ has for us was greater than your need and my need to assert authority and dominion and territory and power in and over each other? What if abiding in Christ's love was even greater than your disappointment and my disappointment in our relationships with each other? And what if abiding in Christ's love was greater than the brokenness that you and I have experienced with each other? For all the things that we have done, even all the things that we have failed to do that we think somebody should have done, even those. What if we abided in Christ? What could happen? John gives us the answer, and it's a brighter future. It's always a brighter future when it begins with a loving relationship with Christ. So abiding in the love Christ has for us can replace our anger with some understanding. Even in sitting people in discernment who don't know why they're there or why it happened or why they said or did what they said or did. They're just there. Then they could use your help. Abiding in the love Christ has for us can replace our own sense of judgment with a set of pom-poms, because everybody needs a cheerleader. A little affirmation and support of one another is far better than a heaping amount of judgment on each other. It always is. It always will be. And what if abiding in the love Christ has for us gives us the opportunity to talk about shared responsibility with each other in a way that lowers defenses rather than building defenses? What a world that would be indeed. And what if abiding in the love Christ has for us replaces our disappointment? You know them, don't you? They've been there. All the disappointment you've had from all of the injustices you have suffered, all the things that didn't go right, that you want justice for. You even think you deserve it, so do I. What if abiding replaces our disappointment with Jesus with skin on, with people who will simply hear that we feel there needs to be justice, that will hear our complaints, that will hear our language, however colorful that may be, and will still love us anyway, despite that, despite what we say, and despite what we do? Abiding in the love Christ has for us allows us to do something that is impossible on our own. Brokenness is not mended by us. It is mended by Christ through us. We must take all of each other's disappointment, all of each other's anger, all of each other's pain, everything that we have, so that we can reflect Christ to people rather than just reflecting raw emotion that has not been touched by Christ. Abiding in the love Christ has for us is what John invites us to do. John did not say that abiding would be easy. It's never easy. When was the last time abiding for you was that easy? Life is complicated. I didn't say it was easy. But John did say it is possible. Allow your heart and my heart to be broken by what John is talking about, abiding in Christ's love, to take from you and from me the things that we simply cannot carry anymore. We were never asked to. That is abiding in Christ's love. When you leave here today, I guarantee you two truths. One, you will use this abiding in Christ's love before I see you again. Question becomes, what are you going to do when you get there? For you will surely run across these situations again. I guarantee it. Abide in Christ's love. And when you have difficulty doing so, breathe, pray, stop, wait, pause. Read it again. Give yourself an opportunity to be filled with that kind of love before you say or do anything to anyone else or with anyone else. Because what you get out of that, that is an abiding love that is pleasing. Thanks be to God. Amen.